Welcome again to HarmonicaCast. It's the podcast by a harmonica player for harmonica players, featuring conversations with great harp players. I'm Bob Kessler, your host, and thanks a lot, everybody, for all the nice responses for the last episode with my buddy Peter Hope Evans, who joined me from outside London, where he lives. Delight to talk to him, finally, after about 7, 8, maybe 9 years now of emailing and getting letters from him and cassettes in the mail. So thanks again, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Those solo recordings from Peter that he sends me have been inspiring to me lately, as have got the new Henry Kaiser album, The Guitarist, and it's all solo guitar. So I'm working on a solo harmonica CD. I've already done one called Amplitude. Actually, you're hearing a track from it right now called Ananda. That one had some compositional elements to it, also improvisational, different strategies and things, and all of it done with Loop EHD. It's completely harmonica and nothing else. Everything just layered. I used Loop EHD to do it. But for my next one, I'm thinking it's going to be all improvised affair. I've been sitting out on the back porch with the plants in the morning and just recording stuff. Been messing around with this new Flux FX app that Adrian Ballou, the guitarist, is getting behind, and it's really done some expansion of the sonic palette for me. So yeah, next collection I'm thinking will be called Frequency, as a sequel to Amplitude, and it'll be all improvised stuff. So watch for that in the future. Also, new Americana band I just joined up with, the Bennett Brothers, Tim McNulty here in Chicago, and yeah, watch for more activity there too. We just did some demos that I think are really great. Enough about me though. This week's guest is a great harp player that if you haven't heard of, you should have. It's John Kirkhoven from Montreal, which I have learned is indeed a great harmonica city, and we get into that. We get into some of his influences, how he's inspired. He happened to be in Chicago, where I live and work, and we got to record this at WGN Radio's studios at Tribune Tower, and thanks again to WGN Radio for running this podcast on its WGN Plus webpage. So we'll get into it now with John Kirkhoven here on HarmonicaCast. This is a harmonica-centric trip for you. How's it been going so far?
It's very, very cool. This is the first harmonica activity of the trip. We only got here yesterday, but
well, what's on the calendar?
You're bringing me out to meet a whole bunch of harp players tonight.
Yeah,
that's the first thing, and maybe hit Kingston Mines tomorrow night for a jam, and meet Joe Felisco on Monday. So I'm very excited about that.
You haven't met Joe yet?
No, just by email.
You're going to the legendary basement room at the Old Town School where Joe has his classes. That's so okay. Cool.
Bumped into somebody last night. We were just out walking in the neighborhood of our hotel and came upon this thing that looks like the Pantheon in Paris and is operated by the Elks, I gather?
Yes, that's the Elks. I don't know if it's their national headquarters or what it is, but yeah, it's obviously an important building to the Elks.
Yeah, well, anyway, the doors were open. It was late at night, and so we just wondered if we could get a peek, and we weren't allowed because they were closing up, but the guy who was there started chatting with us, and I mentioned I was here in part for harmonica, and he immediately said, "Oh, the Old Town School." So there's obviously a bit of a reputation out there.
Yeah, especially with Joe.
Yeah. I mean, I see he's been at it for 20 years or so.
He has, yeah. And he's got a whole bunch of students, and they meet every Monday, and they're all great. And, yeah, you'll have the time of your life, man.
I was actually floored when I was looking on the website to see that there are, when I checked a few months ago, there was like 11 concurrent harmonica courses.
Isn't that cool?
It's like, holy smokes. We got a few things happening in Montreal, but
yeah.
Wow, we got a little ways to go.
And Montreal is a good harmonica town.
I mean,
you
have
yourself and Jason Rosenblatt, and who else? Give us an impression of the Montreal harmonica scene.
The Montreal harmonica scene has on the side of blues and blues rock, we have our local legends in that regard. There's guys like Jim Zeller and Carl Tremblay and Guy Bélanger, who won the National Harmonica Player Award last year.
What style does he play in?
It's blues rock.
Yeah.
But there's this whole other Quebecois dimension to the music scene there. And we have people like Pascal Veillette and Samuel Caron and Lévi Bourbonnais. And these guys, along with another fellow whose name is just escaping me at the very moment, but it'll come back. They make up the quartet, the harmonica quartet. They're taking the old harmonica quartet style, but doing their own compositions with it and playing reels in it and far out jazz style and influences from all over the place. And so their quartet is called Darmo, D'HARMO. And they are just flat out amazing guys and amazing musicians. And so there's that whole thing going on there. Pascal is playing with Les Tireurs de Roche internationally. Lévi Bourbonnais is an amazing chromatic player. He's in charge of the Off Jazz Festival, which is sort of a complement to the Montreal Jazz Festival in an effort to try to promote local talent and more avant-garde stuff. So this is just... off the top of my head, there are these guys. There's André Dano, who does beatboxing harmonica with podorhythmy, which is doing rhythm with your feet. There's Benjamin Tremblay-Carpentier, who's involved with a number of projects and is plays all kinds of harmonicas and all kinds of styles at a very high level. And so we got a lot going on in Montreal.
Why do you think that is in Montreal? It just is.
It just is. And as you mentioned, Jason's there too. It is one of the primary places in Canada where cultures meet. And there's just a lot of... a bit of a cauldron of meeting of minds there.
And the city has a European flavor, strong European flavor, and I think there's that European appreciation of music that probably has something to do with it.
No doubt. I mean, the Quebecois component is huge, though. And so you have these traditions of music. I'm not an expert on it, but with just the traditional Quebecois music, which is not limited to song and fiddle, but harmonica is an integral part of that. The tremolo harmonica, in particular. There's a couple of guys who call themselves Fillon Catastrophe. I'm not exactly sure what that means, to be honest, even though...
I just want you to say French names for the rest of the interview. That's all. it impresses me to no end. I know for you it's an everyday thing, but...
These guys is a duo who are playing traditional stuff on tremolo harmonicas.
Two harps?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And they're incredibly tight. And, and then there's other groups that are just incorporating it one way or another as well. I said the Tireurs de Roche, there's Grand Debarras, who was... And I'm mentioning some of these names, too, because we have... you came out to Montreal last year for our version of your hoedown, mm-hmm. and that was good fun, and you met some of these guys.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and so Benjamin and André, they have taken over the helm of our local harmonica a cappella nights, which was something started by
the
Darmo
that.
Guys.
Yeah.
In about 2009, 2010. And this is when I was just getting going in something of a serious kind of way. And I was just flat out delighted that, here's a monthly harmonica event.
So what happens at the event?
The way it's been done traditionally, if I can say traditionally, it's not that old, but it ran for a few years under that original helm, and then it fell off the radar for a few years, and Andre and Benjamin have picked it up again. The idea is to have two sets of music. The first set has an open mic. It's just basically an open mic. So anybody who plays harmonica can get up and play for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, do your thing. And then the second set is usually a featured act. All these different flavors of harmonica coming out, and you can get some, you know, I played there with my buddy Pat Loisel, who's a multi-instrumentalist, excellent harmonica player. We did sort of blues with a bit of folk in one night. Jason did his thing with his Strymal band, with a lot of Eastern European influences, klezmer influences. The Bon des Barats trio was there, which is a French-Canadian band with one guy who's they have a woman on fiddle and a guy doing, among other things, body percussion. It's just
cool.
And great singing, and another guy doing that potarrhythmy. I don't know what you call it. Calling it foot tapping doesn't right. sound nice. It doesn't do it justice. But potarrhythmy is.
That's big in the Quebecois tradition. I've seen that. But the harmonica a cappella is what the event's called?
Yeah.
And it's mostly harmonica or only harmonica?
Well, you can have these other... There has to be harmonica featured in there somewhere, somehow. It's harmonica-centric, but without apology.
And the music that you do, your combo, blues reel, you do blues, but the stuff that you do that is more trad... It's Celtic related. Is it Quebecois per se?
Not per se. We do have a couple of Quebecois songs that we include in that duo. My partner there is Patrick Hutchinson. I don't want to pigeonhole him on anything because he's got very broad taste, and he sort of came up in Montreal playing in ska and punk bands in the 80s. But he has a strong Celtic side to his music. I mean, he's from the British Isles, came over here as a teenager, and holds down the Celtic sessions with a couple of his buddies on a weekly basis, and knows the stuff pretty deeply. So he's taught me a whole bunch of stuff on the side of Celtic music, and we play some blues, and then we play whatever turns our crank otherwise.
It's a nice blend of stuff. Now,
can I actually? This is
a blues reel CD. Well, you were wearing your blues reel cap when I met you in the lobby here.
So this is hot off the press.
Hot. This is like the new thing. Okay.
Yeah, we did our launch a month ago.
Okay. Is that Sailing Shoes by Little Feet?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Let's listen to a little bit of that, all right?
Well, we play it coming off a Baroque Irish tune. Thank you.
turban and a cocaine tree. She does that dance so rhythmically. She's laughing and singing and clapping her hands. Don't that cocaine tree look grand? You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing shoes. Everyone will start to cheer when you put on your sailing shoes. Well, Jebediah, well, he's got a dime. Says he'll catch more fish every time. Well, I got a line and you got a pole. Why don't you meet me at the fishing hole? You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing shoes. Everyone will hip hooray when you put on your sailing shoes. Doctor, doctor, I feel so bad. This is the worst day I ever had. Well, have you this feeling a long, long time? Why don't you lay it right on the line? You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing shoes. Everyone will start to cheer when you put on your sailing shoes. You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing shoes. Everyone will hear parade. You put on your sailing shoes.
That was a needle drop right there. You know, do you know what that term means?
Turntable talk.
Yeah, but it's like when you first get something and you just, without listening to it, you just drop the needle. We used to do that. So we're at Tribune Tower. WGN Radio Studios are kind enough. I work here and they let us use the studio to do this. And when I work with this guy on the overnight show here, Steve King, I've mentioned him before, and his wife, Johnny Putman. So every once in a while, he would get a CD, you know, sent to us from somebody maybe he knew or maybe he didn't. We would just do a live, you know, needle drop on the air, or laser drop, and listen to it, and we'd come out and go, oh yeah, I gotta do that. Oh yeah, it's great, man. It's just really beautiful. And I mean, that tune, Sailing Shoes, I love the Robert Palmer version, which is on his first solo album, but it's of course a Little Feat song. So just what you guys did with that was just awesome. And then combining it with for Ireland, I'd Not Tell Her Name. Who would have thought? You guys thought it, but
Patrick thought of it. Don't ask me how, but
yeah, it's beautiful. So yeah, talk more about the duo. How long have you guys been together?
I guess we started playing about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. But it was just, there was nothing very planned or formal about it. It was just, I was eager to get playing, and I just twisted Patrick's rubber arm on a number of occasions to come and join me on various opportunities to start playing. And lo and behold, you know, as these things happen, you start to find a common repertoire, you find common ground, and what works for us is that we both like experimenting, exploring all kinds of things. So that keeps the musical interest alive, because we just keep coming up with more ideas of things to try. Why don't we try this? Why don't we try that? Oh, I had this idea. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. And he'll, you know, start playing harp on something he's working on, and then, you know, if a little bit down the line, it starts to gel into something a little bit more performable and playable. And so, yeah, just. You know, it ain't broke. We're not worried about it.
It works great, especially the chord stuff you did down low that you told me during the song. It's a low F harp, and then the first position solo on the C is beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's just got a nice sound palette for harp there. You know, a lot of times people will do something like that, especially an older blues kind of thing. They'll just play one harp, and it'll be kind of one position, and that's it. But you mix it up really well. It's a really nice arrangement, so...
Yeah, we had a nice compliment after a show we did, where somebody said to us something like, "You make a lot of nice sounds." It was just the idea that there is a palette of sounds there. This isn't a pop CD that's gonna, you know, come knock you off your chair on song one and do it again song two. It's quite low key, but. We cover a lot of musical ground in there, and we both like it a lot.
So how long have you been playing harmonica?
I started in my teens, but I didn't start taking it really seriously until I was about 40.
That could be considered a late bloomer.
Yeah, I guess.
You took it seriously, and had you not played at all from high school to midlife?
No. I'd played in like house parties and stuff like that, and took a few lessons along the way, but hadn't really done a whole lot with it. But it was always, music is something I always wanted to pursue. And it's one of those things, you know, I remember your interview with Katrina Sturton, where she was saying something very similar, that she had to make a decision at some point, and it was like, you know, well, am I going to do this or not? And she took that decision, yeah, you know, I don't want to. Well, now I'm not going to have that problem of waking up in 10 years and going, "Gee, why didn't I do that?"
Right.
Like, you know, and it's a dubious path to take. It's not that obvious, but man, no regrets. You know, it's anyway. I guess I could play a little bit, and I had a few songs, but I didn't. I still had heaps to learn, still do, of course, but the thing that got me back into the harp, it was like the late 90s, I guess, where the internet was becoming, well, what we know it to be.
Yeah.
And information was becoming more accessible, and it was, you know, hearing about the overblows and knowing that you could get all those notes, and I wanted to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you can spend your lifetime figuring it out. I mean, music is endless, as I've said before.
But it was the overblows and stuff that got me back into it. And I got the tools to work on harps, and I got the full set of keys, and started just teaching myself how to maintain the harps. And
Blues Reel's not the only group you do. What's the name of the trio?
The trio is now a quartet.
Quartet. So
we found a drummer.
KSB.
We just use our initials.
And what's it called now?
KSB.
But it's now a quartet.
Exactly. Instead of KSB Trio, it's now just KSB.
Because that was the thing that first, you know, I knew I wanted to play beyond the city limits of Chicago. And I thought, well, why not Montreal? And that's how I got in touch with you.
Yeah.
Because I went to your website, and I think it might have been you solo, but was KSB the group you did the Mose Allison piece with?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what first I thought, well, any harp player is going to do Mose Allison. I'm interested because I love Mose Allison and his kind of relaxed approach that was blues and jazz blues and jazz informed. I think kind of fits your musical sensibility in a way, but could I impose on you to play a little bit of Mose? Do you have a harp there? Just to show us what you got, because I couldn't find a recording of it online anymore. That video that first got me turned on to you
I don't know where it is. It used to be on your website, but it's not there anymore. Even if you want to just do a lick or two.
Well, there's a couple of Mose Allison tunes we do now. The one that I do is Everybody's Crying Mercy.
Just give us a little bit. Beautiful.
Sort of kind of like that.
Now, playing harp isn't the only thing you do. You also sing. So did that also come into development at the same time, concurrent with your harp playing, or did you add it to your harp playing to make yourself more versatile?
I've always been singing, and I just love to sing, so I just put them together.
And you also write. You're a writer.
I do, yeah.
Working on short stories, according to your website?
Perennially working on short stories.
Yeah. When can we read them?
When I finally finish tempering them.
Do you find any parallels? Because I do photography, live radio, recorded radio. Do you find any parallels between harmonica playing and music and short story writing?
Not particularly. No, they're two different brain spaces, I think. I don't know, how do you find it with journalism?
I do, I do a lot, especially with the creativity part of it. Yeah, you're given sometimes materials that seem very limited and that you wonder, how am I going to make this come alive? Just, you got a harmonica. It seems, in a way, it's limited. And you show up and you have to do a news story on something and you have to make it come alive. You have to make it interesting without falsifying. And so there's that creativity of it. And then being live on the radio, I actually tell a lot of the talk show hosts, because I'm a radio news anchor, so I'm not the main spotlight person. And I consider it very much like harmonica playing, because if you're a harmonica player in a band and you're accompanying a singer or other instrumentalist, you have to know when not to play. And I like to think that I have a better knowledge of when and better technique and a better feel for when not to talk on a talk show host's show.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to have those. There have been times where I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I think I did it. I think I just made that comment was just kind of exactly right. Now, I'm not saying it's all the time, but that's a good day, you know, when you get a couple of those. When
but
you're
your,
with somebody.
Your journalism is live in that sense.
Yeah.
Writing a short story is just... You're there with the text and going over it and going over it, and it's very, very solitary craft that you have the luxury of endless revisions, which is also a problem in its own way.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the expression that great art is not finished; it's abandoned. You must have heard that, and I'm sure that was your experience in making the CD Riverfield.
Yeah, there was a point where you
not that it's not great. It's great.
You have to just go and you prepare as well as you can. You go and do it, and that's it. Yeah, we spent 2 days in a log house out in the countryside, and John McColgan, our guy who did the recording, he had his idea of how he was going to do it and set up his mics, and we fellow who lives there is a music head and was more than happy to have us in his house for a couple of days making the sounds that we make.
Well, I could not think of a better environment to do the kind of music in the way that you do music than a log house.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really cool.
So which track should we close out with?
Fool for Your Love, which is the first song that Patrick and I collaborated on. He provided the music, I provided the words, and John McColgan was kind enough to provide his drums because John's also a drummer.
Frogs remind me, lilacs and reminds me of your love. Sparkling stones like sparkling snowdrifts, and the sounds on sand waves hit. Fireflies as they lit bring a smile to my lips like your love. The maple trees in their autumn glow fill me with joy up to the brim, but only you make my heart overflow with love just by walking in. Will you please come home to me, dear? My heart is giddy when you're near. I'm a fool for you, it's clear. I'm a fool for your love.
Okay, so the CD is Riverfield, bluesreel.com, and also johnkirkhoven.com?
CA.ca.
.ca. And we just, bluesreel.com, yeah. johnkirkhoven.ca, and your last name is spelled K-E-R-K-H-O-V-E-N.
That's correct, and okay. We just got a Bandcamp page going for the Riverfield CD.
Nice. Anything else we should plug?
Offhand, no.
Your short stories once they get published.
Once I abandon them, that'll be the next thing. Yeah, and maybe down the road, KSB will have something to offer too.
Well, I hope they do.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on Harmonicast, John.
Well, thank you very much.
Like I said, he's a harmonica player. If you hadn't heard of him, you should have. And hopefully, by listening, you've gotten to know John Kirkhoven a little bit better. My name's Bob Kessler, and you can check out all the episodes of Harmonicast at bobkesslerharmonica.com. Hit me up on Facebook, send me an email. Now, I don't normally like to count my chickens before they hatch, but an episode coming up later this month, I just got confirmation that we might be meeting up with this particular player. I've already had some pretty well-known harp players on the show. But this guy's, I don't want to say he's the most well-known. He's in the top five. Certainly top five of my favorite harp players. So look forward to that. Like I said, I can't say who it is because I haven't recorded it yet and we've just been talking. So just a little teaser for you. Like I said, check out all the other episodes at bobkesslerharmonica.com. Keep the faith, happy harping, and thanks again for listening to Harmonicast.